All right, back in Genesis 22. Our subject this morning is God providing himself. Abraham said in Genesis 22:8, he said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Christ said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He said, all these Old Testament scriptures are written to testify of him. On the road to Emmaus, he started at Moses. That's where we are today. We're at Moses, beginning these five books, first five books written by Moses. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This whole book, all these Old Testament scriptures as well as the new, are things concerning Christ. So when we read here, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering," we immediately need to think of Christ. We need to immediately look to Christ. Now we're going to behold some things about Abraham, some things he did in this trial, the purpose of it, what have you. But our focus here this morning is on Christ. We're on Christ. Christ is God providing himself a lamb. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. Christ is God providing himself a lamb. That's the Lamb of God. So now back in verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, he tested, he tried Abraham, put him to a test. He called him already. He given him faith. Abraham believed God. He came out of the Ur of Chaldee by faith, Scripture said. So he already called him. He already believed on the Lord. He'd been through some trials already. Now the Lord's bringing him to another trial. And it said, he said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? God telling you to take your only son and offer him for a burnt offering. Well, in that we behold God our Father and Christ his Son. We see God the Father and Christ his Son. The Lord said, "Take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest." The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God doesn't mean he was begotten like you and I are begotten again. It means he's God's Son in a way like nobody else is. He's the only begotten Son. He's the preeminent Son of God, one with the Father. And he's the Son God loves. The Son he loves. He said, "This is my beloved Son." You're talking about a perfect, holy love. Abraham is being made to experience the love of God for him. That's what this is about. He's being made to experience God's love for himself. The love of God for chosen sinners. That's what you and I should think about in this, is God's, if you're a believer, trust in Christ only, then think on this, think of God's love toward you. This is what Abraham's been made to know personally. He's called to offer his only son whom he loves. The son he loves. And that's what God the Father did for his sinful people. For his sinful people. Anybody got you offended? God gave his only son for you when you offended him far worse. Think about that. When I offended him, he gave his only begotten son that he loves. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He said in 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the Lord's love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Remember Christ said, if you love those that love you, it's not that difficult of a thing. But love those that hate you. Well, this is what he's saying. Not that we love God. We hated God. I mean with a perfect hatred. And yet he loved us and sent his son to satisfy him for our sins, to make atonement for our sins, sent his son to be that propitiation where God could meet us and love and show that love to us and make us know that love, being merciful to us because of Christ's blood. That's love. And he told him to offer his son, therefore, burnt offering. God sent his only begotten son. Christ came to be the offering of God for his people. For all God's true spiritual Israel, we were guilty. We deserved to burn in the fires of God's wrath for eternity. Have you ever been around a campfire or been grilling or something like that, and you just look at that burning fire and those burning coals and think about what Christ endured on the cross? What we should have endured. That's what he endured. The burning of God's wrath. The law demanded it. The law had to be honored, and that's what he was doing. This thing was about God's honor. It was about God's righteousness, showing us how righteous and holy God is. Christ said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Come to take away that first covenant, that covenant that your people broke, whereby they came under the curse in Adam. I come to take away that curse and fulfill that covenant, giving you the obedience they should have given you. And I come to establish a new covenant, ordered and sure in all things, perfected by my blood, written in my blood. I come to fulfill that. I come to do your will, O God, because your people can't do it. And it says, by that will, by his will, by Christ's will, by him fulfilling the will of God, that's the will by which we're saved. We're sanctified, perfected by that will, by his one offering, one time. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You reckon Abraham slept that first night? I read a story about a martyr, a man that was martyred, who was... He was the next day, he was going to be burnt at the stake. And when they came to get him, to take him to be burnt at the stake, they had to wake him up. He was resting. God give you grace when you need it. He gave you grace when you need it. But Abraham had 3 days to think about what he was about to do. Now, God give you grace, but I tell you this, you have 3 days to think about something that you're about to do and sacrificing your only son that you love. It's gonna be some trouble. God the Father chose to give his son for an offering for his people before this world was made. And Christ entered into that covenant to lay down his life for his people from eternity. And when God wrote the names of his people in the Lamb's Book of Life, Christ entered in covenant to save us. He became right then the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when he walked this earth, from the time he was a child all the way, remember how he said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with." He's talking about the cross. "And I'm straightened until it be accomplished." It's coming. But faithfulness, he never wavered. He set his face like a flint. He looked to the Father. He trusted the Father. And he went to that cross. Nothing that happened around him could change him. He was looking to his Father and he never wavered. That's faith. That's faith. Abraham provided everything necessary, the sacrifice, the wood, the knife, the offering. He provided everything. God provided everything for this offering. Everything that was needed to save his people, our God purposed it. He prepared it. He provided it all, sent his son. He provided everything. And everything that came to pass leading up to that cross was all the direct sovereign hand of God fulfilling his purpose, just like it was there in Abraham's day. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was wicked hands that took him and slew him, but they were doing only what God purposed before to be done. Acts 2.23 says that. Acts 4.27 says, "They did whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." That's all that's coming to pass in this life, is whatever God counsel and purpose determined before to be done. Overruling whatever wickedness in us and whatever wickedness in this world, but he's bringing his purpose to pass in it, and he's saving his people in the process and glorifying himself in our heart. Abraham told his servant, they got to the place, and he said, "You stay here, you two fellows stay here. I and my son are going to go to this mount. We're going to this mount. You stay here. We'll come again. We're going there to worship. We'll come again, but you stay here." This thing that took place on the cross was between God the Father and God the Son. Nobody else could approach this thing that was taking place. This was between God the Father and God the Son. Just like they couldn't go up there, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He was there successfully. On that cross, God was there in his Son, and he was reconciling all his people to himself. He wasn't trying to. He was doing it, and he did it. The glory of God is right there. That's what he did. Now, look at this thing. Now, let's think about Abraham a little bit in this trial. God tried Abraham, it says there in verse 1. God's going to prove the faith he's given. It's going to happen. He's going to prove it. The works that faith is going to do, the true works, are not going to justify us before God. They don't justify us and make us righteous. Christ is our righteousness. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. But wherever God gives true faith, God's going to try that faith, and he's going to prove that it's the genuine gift of God. He's going to prove he gave it. Just like we saw this morning, the faith he gives, he's going to continue to the end, no matter what he puts you through. But he's going to put us through. And we must. Christ said, you must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. It's a must. It's a must. It's going to bring glory to God. It's going to manifest that it's God who gave the faith and who's sustaining the faith and who's keeping the faith. We're not going to get the glory. God's going to get the glory for going through the trial. The works whereby our faith is manifest as being true are works whereby God is proving He is able and that we believe He is able. That's the... Whatever the trial is, we're not talking about just stumping your toe. We're talking about a work that's going to prove you believe God alone is able and you have no ability. What ability did Abraham have to deliver himself out of this? None. James 2 says he believed God was able. Romans 4 says he believed God was able to do everything He promised. Abraham didn't have any ability to do it. Just like we don't have any ability to justify ourselves. We have no ability to make ourselves righteous. We don't have any ability to believe on Him in the first hour. We don't have any ability to keep walking by faith unless He keeps us. We don't have any ability to come through the fiery trial unless He brings us through the fiery trial. And that's the purpose of it, is to give Him the glory of saying, "That's what I did. I gave Him that faith. I sustained that faith. I provided everything for Him." And the faith He gives, He's going to trust Him, believing He's able. This was that son, Isaac, who through whom God said Christ was coming. Now you think about that. God said Christ is coming through Isaac. And now God tells Abraham, "You go sacrifice Isaac. You go kill this boy. Offer him to me." Are you ever in a place where you just don't know what God's doing? If we knew everything God was doing, we wouldn't be walking by faith. Faith is believing God's got His business handled. Faith's believing God's able to do everything He promised for me. And He's working everything together to bring it all to pass. I don't have to know all the details. I don't have to understand why He told me to do this. I don't have to understand why He's putting me through this. All I have to know is He's doing it. And He's able. And I believe He's able. I believe He's able. Faith's not a blind leap. It's not a leap out into the, step out on faith. That's what people say. No, that's not faith. Faith is stepping in. Faith is trusting God. It's not a blind leap. It's knowing He's got me. He has had me from eternity. He's carrying me. He was saving me at Calvary. He has saved me up to this point. He's going to continue to save me. And whatever He's doing right now, I just can't wait to see how good it's going to end up. Because it is. Tell me one trial. If you ever went through a trial and you didn't come out of it, as big a blunder as you made and as bad as you messed up, if you aren't thankful for that and see how good it was for you, you didn't have faith. And it wasn't even God working in you, faith. But if you've gone through a trial, and His people see when they go through it, they look back on it and say, "I messed up. I sinned, and that's on me. And I'm not excusing that, and I'm not saying any of that was right, but I sure wouldn't change any of it. Because I see how good God worked it." You're going to say that in the end, when we're with God, we're going to say that about everything He worked in our life. We're going to understand then how fully everything was doing. It was the best possible thing that could have happened for us, the way it happened. You know what we'd have done? If according to our wisdom, we'd have stopped Adam from sinning in the garden. That can't bring good to God. Nope. God ordained it to bring good to glory to Him. True faith believes God is able and will save. Abraham said in verse 5, I and the lad will come again to you. He didn't say, we're going to go up here and worship and I hope we come back. We might come back. He said, no, we're going up here to worship and we're coming back. We too are coming back. He knew Christ was salvation. He knew Christ was coming through that boy. He didn't know what God was going to do or how he was going to do it, but he knew this, God will provide himself a lamb. You know who he was looking to? John 8, Christ said, he saw my day. This right here is when he saw his day. And when Abraham said God will provide himself a lamb, he was not just talking selfishly about providing a lamb for Isaac. He was saying, son, you're not going to die. Christ is coming. God's going to provide himself a lamb, and he's coming through you. You ain't dying today. He was talking about Christ as he was talking about. Faith in Christ knows. Here it is. Here's the ability we trust in God. This is how we know he's going to work good for his people. Faith in Christ knows we shall be saved by Christ for Christ's sake. That's what Abraham was saying. God shall provide himself a lamb. He will. We're going to be saved. We've not only been saved by Christ, we shall be saved for Christ's sake. If you take your next breath, it's for Christ's sake. Whatever you do today is for Christ's sake. Because God's going to save you to give Christ all the glory. And I tell you this, people that aren't his, everything that they're doing and everything he's bringing to pass through them is happening for Christ's sake. Because they're going to bow the knee and confess all glory to Christ. Everybody is. Everything is happening for Christ's sake. But that's assurance and the strength of faith to the believer. I know for Christ's sake he's going to do right. He's going to be good, whatever he does. And it don't much matter how painful it is and how troubling it is. You hate your sin and you feel so ashamed of your sin and you despise the shame. And you can do that and perish and go to hell. But by God's grace, he's going to eventually bring you to see he's put away your shame. And he's the one who's providing. And by doing that, he breaks our heart to the point that we can't do anything else but look to him. I guarantee you right here, Abraham wasn't trusting the works of his hand. Abraham wasn't looking to himself. He wasn't looking to Isaac. He wasn't looking to those two lads that were with him. He wasn't looking to anybody else but to the Lord. And he was shut up to the Lord. He had to just wait and see how the Lord's going to provide. He will provide himself a lamb. I'm just waiting. I don't even know how he's going to save you, Isaac, but he's going to. Shut up to him. Can't do anything else. Best place we can be. Now look at this next thing. We see Christ in the lamb that he provided. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. You see, Christ, he bore his cross. He was bearing the cross. He went and he was hung upon that cross. He bore all the sin of his people on that cross. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father, and he said, my father, he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac had faith too. Isaac knew we can't approach God without shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We cannot come to God without a lamb. Father, we know what happened to Cain. We got to come like Abel came. We can't come without a lamb. We know this. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And as Christ is God providing himself, the Son of God, God in Christ, God providing himself, and he is that lamb. He's that spotless lamb who was spotless so he could bear all the sin of his people and then bear that fire of God and satisfy justice for us. And that was redemption. That's how he saved us from hell. That's how he saved us from wrath. And I'll tell you this, if he's brought you to believe him, do you believe that you're perfect in Christ? You believe all your sin is put away? That's so if you rest in him, and that's true of your brethren. It's all put away. Our one responsibility in this life is to do for our brethren what Abraham did for Isaac right there. Isaac was looking at all these things that they had, and he said, "Where's the lamb?" And Abraham pointed him to the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That's our job. That's our responsibility. I don't care how bad your brother sins, how bad you sin, whatever. Isn't that what you want somebody to do for you when you sin? Don't you want your brethren to remind you the Lord has provided himself a lamb? This is the power. This is the power that's going to turn us. It's the power that turned us and is going to keep turning us. What happened when Abraham said that to him? Isaac said, "Good enough. I believe God," and they went together. That's turning, that's what James is talking about, turning a brother from the error of his way, pointing him to Christ, covering a multitude of sins. That's the only way you're going to cover a multitude of sins. Until that happens, there's going to be sin, 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 sin in you, striving and being angry and being envious and being puffed up. This is what God will do in his people. He will do it. He's going to prove the faith he gave. And he's going to manifest the faith he didn't give. But he's going to prove the faith he gave. And here's the thing about that. You and I can't do anything about either way, one of them. If you're his, he's going to prove you're his. You're going to believe him. And you're not going to be able to not believe him. And if we're not his, we're not going to be able to believe him. And we're not going to be able to prove we can. He's going to prove them that are his, just how it's going to be. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to us. Here's the picture of substitution, verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac was a man. We're not talking about a little boy here. Isaac was carrying the wood. And Isaac didn't put up a resistance. He didn't fight his dad over this. Isaac laid down on the altar. He believed his father. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And he believed his father. He believed his heavenly father too. Christ willingly laid down his life for his people, trusting his father's promise, his covenant promise. And he gives his people faith to lay down, trusting his covenant promise. Abraham raised that knife. Isaac saw it. He raised it. And James said he slew him. Or Hebrews maybe said he slew him. He received him back in a figure because he slew that boy in his heart and it was done. He slew him. Christ literally saw, literally experienced when God said, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd." Christ felt it. He bore it. That goes beyond our type right here. Isaac didn't. He experienced a little in his heart that he's about to die. And this was his father that was going to do it. And Abraham experienced what it was like for the father to do it to Christ. But they didn't experience it like Christ did. Christ felt it. He bore it. And Christ said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." that I might take it again. No man takes it from me. I lay it down. Just like Isaac walked up there and laid down on that altar in obedience. He's a sinner, not perfect obedience. But he laid down there willingly. Christ, in perfect obedience, without any shadow of doubt in his heart, laid down his life perfectly for God. That's the faith that saves us. And here's substitution, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. You know who this angel of the Lord is, don't you? We'll see in John 8. Just one thing I'm working on. We're going to see that angel is Christ. He called unto him out of heaven. He said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering, catch these words, in the stead of his son. There is substitution. Christ is the believer's substitute who died in the stead of God's elect. In the stead of God provided himself a lamb, and he willingly laid down his life in the stead of his people. You look to that ram caught in that thorn thicket, and you see a shadow of Christ with the crown of thorns on his head. Now, he called Abraham. He said, Abraham, now I know. Now I know. He's saying, now I've proven it. Now I've shown it. Now I've manifested. He already knew what he put in Abraham's heart. He's making it known to us. Abraham really believed God. Now, do you believe him? Do you believe him? We either believe that he's going to provide, or we believe he's not going to provide. There's no middle ground. We either believe he will provide whatever our need is, or we don't believe him. But now when he's made you to see Christ, you will believe him. You will believe him. Do you think Abraham had to be talked into getting that ram and putting it in place of Isaac? I bet Abraham grabbed hold of that ram. I bet he was holding on that ram with dear life. Don't let him go, son. That's how we'll hold on to Christ. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Faith will be tried. And the trial's always to make us to behold Christ. It's always to renew faith in Christ, our substitute. That's what the Lord did right here for Abraham. Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw that ram, and his heart was filled because he knew who put that ram there. He knew God did it. He said, this right here shows me, just guarantees me, he's going to provide Christ. Way down the road down there, he's going to provide him for me. He's all my salvation. And I tell you, every little thing he's bringing you through, showing you he's providing, is to renew you in faith to know, to look beyond this, whatever this thing is, to that true lamb, to know he has provided him. And he's going to provide me that sure end that he's promised me. I see it in this little thing he's done for me right now. But it's got to be a trial. Listen, it's got to be a trial that you can't work. It's got to be a trial that you can't save yourself in, because that ain't salvation. It's got to be a trial that you got to be shut up to God to do it, because that's salvation. And it's to keep us renewed with this resolve. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Or we could say it like this, the Lord will provide. That's what he renews you. That's the resolve he reminds you of. The Lord will provide. And the Lord spoke from heaven into his heart and said, blessing, I'll bless you. Multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. And in Christ your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you've obeyed me. What's he saying? He's saying that I'm going to do this because of you, Abraham. No, he's saying I'm going to bless you through faith. Believe him, and all these blessings are yours. And that's what the trial's for, to remind you. Him speaking in your heart, blessing, I'm going to bless you. I'm swearing it by an oath. I can swear by no greater. I can't lie, he says. And I'm telling you, by my oath, I'm swearing by my name. Look to Christ on the cross. There's his name. He's given you every possible assurance. He's not going to fail. And that's where these trials fill us in our heart, to look to Christ and know he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all his people, he shall not fail to give me all things. And when I hear that, I'm getting to where I don't even think about things I need in this life. If he provides them, he will. I don't even have to worry about it. The all things he's going to provide is that eternal purpose. All the spiritual blessings he's promised, I know he's going to provide them. That's what I need. Anything else, I'm happy. I'm glad with that. But those blessings, I know he's going to provide. Know that, brethren. Know that. Well, they've just sinned too much. If you've been saved when he found you in your sin, you ought to be able to say, if he saved me from my sin, he can save anybody. What we're saying when we say stuff like that is, I hadn't sinned like that. Oh, we need to be made to know, yes, we have. We're sinning like that when we think that. If he saved me, he can save anybody. If he saved you, he can save anybody. Don't despair. The Lord will provide. Amen.